Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio and Happy New Year 2015. This is going to be, I'm convinced, an absolutely incredible year. I've been talking with a lot of people who feel the same way. We just feel like it's our year. My next guest is having the same exact kind of epiphany. We just know it's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen this year is just going to be fantastic, and we're ready. So today I welcome an internationally certified coach, consultant, speaker, and author. She's also a friend of mine and the author of my absolute favorite book. I'll get into that in a second. Her name is Meredith Elliott Powell, and she has earned an enthusiastic following among industry leaders across the nation. Her career began in sales and marketing and then transitioned into executive positions in finance and commercial banking. And this background gives her the unique ability to bring the numbers side and the people side of a business together, things that don't often happen. But because she can talk about numbers and people and work towards common goals, it all works very, very well. And after her achieving her business coaching certification, Meredith became Goldmaster Certified in Strategic Planning by the Haynes Center and the University of San Diego. She is among only a handful of strategists to hold a certification. She then increased her knowledge of communication styles, human behaviors, and their impact on professional development by earning her Master Certification as a Human Behavior Specialist. She then achieved second-level certification in Emotional Intelligence, EQ, and Meredith, I definitely want to talk about that. IQ, EQ, different things. If they go hand in hand, you are blessed. So Meredith, as I said earlier, is the author of one of my most recommended business books. If you follow me at all on Facebook, Twitter, Google, you know that I am constantly talking about this book. It's called Winning in the Trust and Value Economy, A Guide to Sales Success and Business Growth. And she is going to actually be the first book. This book actually is going to be the first one that we read in my online Facebook club. And Meredith is going to be joining us to discuss the principles in the book. Today, however, we are kicking it into the new year. Just own it. We're going to talk about creating cultures where employees are inspired to step up to the plate, not just sit back and take a passive role and complain about how things are not working out properly. They are inspired to step up, take ownership, and help drive the results that keep their business and their business culture alive and vibrant. Meredith, I'm so glad you're here.
I am very glad to be here. I can't think of a better way to kick off 2015.
Oh, thank you. I love your book. Love, love, love. And I can't wait to read the new one. You know that. So as soon as it's out, I'm going to be over there with my hand up going, me, 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 me. I'll read it.
You won't have to. I'm sending you a copy.
Oh, thank you. I would love that. It'll go, well, I'm going to need two copies. You send me a copy and autograph it, and it'll go on my autograph one that never gets opened because those books are precious. I have a whole rack of them. And then I'll buy one that I can mark up and annotate and yellow sticky and pink sticky and, you know, just work it. You know, so. But I would love to have one. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, you're in the middle of filming something. Before we get off, you know, to our chosen topic, tell people what you're up to right now.
Interestingly enough, some things that I am working on, you know, we were talking about the fact that 2015 is going to be the breakout year. And one of the things that was uncovered in researching Winning in the Trust and Value Economy, but is even coming into play more now, is the fact that you have to be open and willing to do things differently and to keep your ear to the ground and your eyes wide open as to what is changing with your customers and what's changing with your marketplace. And what I have really noticed is that while I still do a lot of in-person work, you know, you know, keynotes, motivational talks, workshops, facilitating and training, I'm getting a lot more requests for things online and short snippets and videos of how to do some of the principles in my books and things that I blog about. And so I'm doing a lot of video work right now to make these available for companies, individuals, business owners, professionals, no matter where you are. But how do you get snippets and small doses of strategies that you need to adopt in order to make this economy work for you? So that's what I've been doing this morning, is shooting video that is going to offer those things to people in 2015.
Have you found out, because I think you, I know you and I have discussed this, a lot of people, and I'm one of them, do not want to sit and watch a long video. Mm-hmm. We're busy, we're driven entrepreneurs, we have tons of things going through our mind all at once, and to sit down and watch a 30, 40, 50, 60 minute video, I'd rather be hit by a beer truck. It's just not going to happen. But if you take, if you give me snippets, 3-4 minutes, mm-hmm. and give me clear, precise ideas to work with, I'm there. Is
you
that
know,
what you're
that
finding?
You're going to find this hilarious. One of the projects that I'm working on with a colleague of mine, we started off and we said, we're going to do short videos. We're going doing 10 to 12 minutes. So we did 10 to 12 minutes and looked at them and bored the wazootie out of ourselves and cut them down to 3 to 4. And that there's real power in that. One is to force yourself to give across really great, powerful information in 3 to 4 minutes really makes you as a professional know your craft, understand your craft, and be able to deliver it clearly. So I feel like it's not only been beneficial for those people who are going to watch those videos, but it's stepped my game up as a professional, which is another thing I love about this economy, is you have to be so open to change, and then you've got to push yourself to another limit, another level. So we've taken that down to no more than 3 to 4.
And you have to be very agile. So that's kind mm-hmm. of like the Twitter thing. I mean, you've got to get your thoughts out in 140 characters or something, which means mm-hmm. that you have to do a lot of self-editing, and you have to be very clear on your messaging, which I love, because you can cut out the superfluous pretty words and just go, here,
mm-hmm.
do this, don't do this.
And really
nice
get
day.
To the point. Yeah, and it's so powerful to just watch something first thing in the morning for 30 seconds, a minute, 3 minutes, whatever it is, and really set that tone. I mean, we're all busy. You don't have a lot of time, but you can set that. That is workable.
It is. Are you going to be doing any kind of little audible snippets? Because I tend to learn, this is just me, not everybody does this, but I tend to learn not by watching, but by listening and by doing.
Absolutely. I just turned my very first book, 42 Rules to Turn Prospects into Customers, I just turned that into 30, they're 1 minute audibles for 30 days. And so you get an audible message every day of exactly how to turn a prospect into a customer. And I'm going to do the same with winning in the trust and value economy.
Right. And that makes perfect sense to me, because if I know that I can just kind of plug in, listen to it, let it percolate at the back of my mind, I'm good. I mean, that mm-hmm. is what works for me. I love that idea.
I also think it works really well with business growth, because the problem is we try to teach everybody everything all at once. And it's too much. And when you can get it in these small bits, you can say, okay, great, let me master this, and then I'll move on.
Exactly. And, you know, there may be, and I'm sure you're going to find this, you know, people, not every message is meant for every person every day. Mm-hmm. But if they've listened to it and it didn't resonate with them that day, they can go back a week later and go, hey, hang on, whoa, what did she say last week? That's the one I'm looking for today. So they're there. It's like a chapter in a book. People can mm-hmm. come back and figure out what they needed.
That's what I really love about it, is the fact that it's there, it's evergreen, they can listen to it as often and as much as they want to. The other thing that I've really made available with them too is that as people listen to them, I want people to know they can reach out to me on social media or through email or anything and say, hey, I didn't quite get this, or I tried this or that. I mean, as I look at 2015, I really want to engage and talk to the people that I'm working with, and I want the tools that they get for me to work. And if it doesn't fit right at first, or if they have a better idea, I want to get on there and learn and talk about it. And so I look at 2015 and the way the business is changing, it's really exciting.
It really is. And, you know, the thing is that we have more access to one another now than ever before, even 5 years ago. You know, mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7 years ago when social media was starting. And, I mean, it's amazing. I get online every morning, and it's like walking through Disneyland for me. I mean, there's so much mm-hmm. out there. But the other side of that is you have to focus on what really interests you and not go, crap, they're what my day is.
we're having a little shiny object syndrome.
right, oh, look at the squirrels. But
right, exactly.
There's so much information out there, and there are so many experts that we have access to, people like you, that frankly we just didn't have access to even mm-hmm. just a few short years ago. It's an amazing new world out there.
And I completely agree.
Yeah, with internet, you can learn anything, do anything. I mean, you can visit other states, other countries without leaving your office. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay, so what I really wanted to ask you today is, what does business look like to you? And this is kind of a two-part question, Meredith. There's business in the corporate sense, so to speak, where you have actual employees, and business where you're like me and all of your air quotes employees are contractors. We all want them as bosses or as small business owners. We all want the people who work with us to really have the whole picture and just be part of it, don't we? Is that where you see things going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the day of do this, clock out at 4 and go home, I think that's kind of waning, and it should be. It was never right.
I would definitely agree with that. It never, it's almost like business got soft. And as I look at 2015 going forward, the mission for me, the theme that I want to get across, and it's what I'm working on in the new book, Just Own It, is the idea of putting personal responsibility back into the workplace. But, you know, as I was talking with my publisher, he said, you can't really call it personal responsibility because nobody likes those words. And, and I said, but, you know, that's sort of the sad thing is we look at responsibility as a burden rather than looking at responsibility as a freedom. And as I look
right.
at it going forward, what business owners need to realize is that good employees are a gift, and they are the only thing separating you from your competition. So the better you are at understanding, learning how to build a culture where people are inspired, the more profitable you're going to be. The flip of that is that we've got a workforce, whether you are a contractor, whether you're an employer in a big employee in a big corporation, that people are kind of frozen in fear. They feel very out of control of their futures. And the point that I want to get across to people is there's so much you can do in this environment to become the person that people want to hire, the employee that people companies strive to keep and promote and want on board, that the professional world's really your oyster if you understand what to do. And it begins with personal responsibility, but viewing it as a freedom, not as a burden.
How in the heck did that happen? I'm appalled that people...
Oh, you know, that is so...
I mean, that makes my stomach hurt.
I know. Actually, I love that you asked me that, because when I was interviewing your friend that you connected me to, David Long. I asked him this great question, because I've actually got a researcher on that. You know, really, when did we start to make the flip? And again, I find the flip painful, because I think as an employee, to be standing there and knowing you have children and a family dependent upon you and bills to pay, and you are worried about losing your job, has got to be daunting to look at 2015. And as an employer, knowing that you've got margins you've got to meet and competition creeping up like crazy, and the one thing you need is a workforce that is engaged and excited, and for either one of those parties not to be able to get there, it is exactly like I wrote in Winning in the Trust and Value Economy. It's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's just that you don't understand that things have changed. And I feel like people are trying to be engaged or engaged in or engage their teams as they did it before, and they're doing it wrong. Now, all that leads me to the question that you actually asked me, which I could not get shiny object syndrome, and that is, you know, how did we get here? And I asked David Long the same question, and gosh, he's so brilliant, and he basically said, you know, there's so much anxiety out there. And as things, you know, as we've moved into a very anxious society, a very fear-ridden society, a society that's lacking trust for good reasons.
I agree.
We become very self-protective. And when you become concerned about your own protection, you stop investing in others.
Well, and you're restricting so much. You're restricting the flow of information. I mean, you're huddled there, and your shoulders are stooped, your head is bowed, you're panicked, and you're just restricting yourself. And it's hard to explain what I mean, but I know you get it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I think you just said it brilliantly, because where it really begins is employers need to not restrict information. If the company's doing well, share that. If the company's not doing well, share that. Help people understand the vision and the mission and the world in which they're functioning. Don't leave them in the dark. And information is exactly where it begins.
Well, and that's just it. And if you understand as an employee, if you understand that things maybe aren't going so well, and you see places where you can step up, your coworkers can step up, you know, look, when you're the boss, you see things one way. When you're an employee, you're in the trenches, so to speak. You see things another way. I think it's a very good idea to have conversations frequently between management and employees and find out what the heck's going on. Because one group doesn't know and the other group doesn't know, but if you pool that information, you're bound to have some information, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't that make sense?
It absolutely, you know, in other words, really what you're saying is employers and employees need to get on the same team. And I feel like somewhere in the last 20 years, we picked sides. You know, much like we did with customers, the goal was, I mean, that's what's wrong with sales and why people don't like the word sales, is because we think of it as me beating you or winning a negotiation or, you know, using some type of tactic in order to get you to do something that you might not necessarily want to do or buy. And somehow we moved that same process into the workforce. And as you look at 2015, just like we did with Winning in the Trust and Value Economy, you need to realize that your path to profitability is through your customer success. In 2015, we're taking that another step, and your path to profitability begins with truly making sure that your employees are successful as possible. And then you get to be the person with the best employees who then gets the best customers.
I don't know, Meredith, that's too logical.
That's true, exactly.
I had to say it.
Exactly. It isn't rocket science, is it?
No, it's not. And I'm still just sitting here. My stability is not a good word. I mean, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And that just, my teeth snapped together. I couldn't even speak for a moment. Mm-hmm. And that's unusual for me, just so you know. I find that very sad, but I'm so glad that you're taking steps to help people understand that, you know, being an employee, being a boss doesn't make you a rarefied critter. I mean, it's part and parcel of who you are, what you do, what you take home at night, what you get up out of bed to go do in the morning. Why not be the absolute best at every single thing you do every single day? What the heck is the question there?
Absolutely. You know, just over this, you know, I'm always working with companies and individuals in either the healthcare field or, and I always have a number of employers looking for good, great, fabulous employees. And just over the Christmas holidays, I had three interactions with employees in different situations where I then turned around and said to the CEO I was working with, look, I think I found you somebody. You need to go into this facility, and I think you need to hire this person. So that is one thing I want employees to understand, is that even if the company isn't doing everything you want them to do, and even if it's not where you see yourself in 5 years, giving it everything you've got every single day, you have a far better shot of landing in a much better position than if you're just going to work with half your heart.
And that makes perfect sense. I mean, it really does. It kind of reminds me of Mark Sanborn's book, The Fred Factor.
Right.
I mean, that's an excellent, excellent book.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So where are you personally going in 2015? I know you've got a lot of things going on. And before we get too far into this conversation, tell people where they can find you online, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. They can find me at MeredithElliottPowell.com. And Meredith has two I's in it. Again, MeredithElliottPowell.com. Or find me on Denise's Facebook page, because we are always chatting back and forth.
We do.
As well as LinkedIn and Twitter. And I definitely, right. I blog quite a bit. I encourage people to reach out to me, ask me questions, and I am highly responsive, and I love this whole world of connection and engagement right now. So truly, I mean it. Reach out to me.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so what do people really, it's a brand new year, I mean, it's brand shiny new. And my attitude is we get to make of it, well, we get to make every day what we want. But there's just something about a new year. I mean, people make resolutions. I don't. I've never bothered. But I do make promises and commitments, which to me are two very powerful words. You don't want to break either. Resolutions, they're a little wishy-washy for me. But there's something kind of, it's almost spiritual about a new year. We know good and well it's just another day.
Right.
But it's almost like you get to go, okay, I am starting fresh. I'm cleaning up all the stuff that I didn't get done last year, which was day before yesterday.
Right.
But it's just, there's something that just makes you just want to go, oh, this is my year. And we were talking about that in the green room just a bit ago. There's something percolating. It's not just us. I've talked with several people over the last month or so who are just absolutely convinced that they are poised to just go, this is my year. Something's breaking. Something's cutting loose. I'm ready. Do you think it's maybe just a sense of acceptance, like we're just ready to accept our gifts, if you will?
You know, I definitely think that. And I think the last few years have kind of separated, for lack of a better way to put it, you know, the men from the boys. And I feel like the acceptance is the fact that we realize that, A, you can be very successful in these changing times. The other is, I think we've started to enjoy it. It's definitely harder work. You definitely have to be changing things all the time. But, you know, when you and I were talking before, and I'm sure you feel this when you talk with other people, is that there's it's almost like there's an energy when people talk about it. I feel like it's my year, but in your head, you know, I'm not exactly sure what even 6 months from now, specifically what I'm going to be doing differently, but I'm going to be doing differently. And I think that people have been building up, and we're finally in a status quo that things are never going to be status quo. And people are saying, you know, the other is, in separating the men from the boys, I think what you're experiencing is you've surrounded yourself with people who believe that success is possible, and there are definitely another side to that story, but there has been a major separation in this country of people who are one side or the other.
You know, I think you're right, and honestly, I'm going to go a step further with my thinking. I don't think success is possible. In my case, it's just darn mandatory. I won't accept anything less. Interesting.
But I think also, I think also you've been building to that. I mean, I think that it is. The other thing I think people can't, I think we have worked so hard. And I don't mean that in a negative respect either, because if you love what you're doing, you're passionate about it, and you're excited. But you've done so many things, and now it's sort of all percolating and coming together.
And I love that you use that word, because I've been using that word percolating quite a bit in conversations and in my writing and my musing, my journal. For the last probably 4 or 5 weeks, that word just keeps poking up. So there's definitely something that's been going on. And I'm excited. I normally could care less about a new year. I'm telling you, you know, the Chinese New Year has the year of the snake. The, you know, this is the year of Denise. That's all there is to it. This is my year.
Well, you know, and I think I saw that in China.
The year of Denise?
Yeah, they've renamed it.
Right. I feel that way, and I know you do too, and we're not alone. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually really excited about business growth and, you know, just all the different things that have been going, you know, be going on this year, which leads me back to you. Because you are a business growth expert. Now, explain to our audience what it is that you do as a business growth expert, because those are three words that sound great, but what is it really? What do you help people do?
It's a great question. I in essence, help people understand whether it's their own business, whether it's a corporation, whether it's their department or their own individual performance within that, but what do they need to do in order to grow, develop their business, their results, their bottom line, enhance their customer relationships? What do they need to do in order to help their company move forward? And that can be everything from my methods are through one-on-one or group coaching, through consulting, and then through speaking and workshops as well as writing. And it's about helping people, first of all, as you and I just discussed, but accept, embrace, and really grab hold of what is their reality. What have they been doing that's working? What needs to change? What connections and relationships do they need to build in order to get to the next level? And then how are we going to create the accountability and the methods to stay focused, as well as to ensure what we're doing is working and what needs to be changed? Because that's the other thing, is that you really need to realize that about every 3 months, you have to add something new or something different to what you've been doing, because our economy is changing so rapidly.
It really is, and how people are purchasing and absorbing information and learning. Yeah, everything is different, and it changes constantly. Mm-hmm. So what do you suggest that people do? I mean, if they, and you said something very important too, focus. Focus is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Focus is a difficult thing, because we have, particularly as entrepreneurs, our brains don't shut down. I don't know about you, but I have talks with my brains like, just shut up.
Right.
Sit down in the corner. Give me a break for a minute. Never happens, but I try it. But we always have something going on, and there's so much coming at us all the time. So we have to be very careful about focusing on what is working and not just kind of go off on that shiny object syndrome. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any kind of tips that you can give our audience about that? And I'm really asking for me, just so you know. Full disclosure. Help.
Absolutely. I'm going to answer that in the second part of my answer. The first part is a piece that you don't need, but I really want to share with your listeners. And that is the two most important things that you need to do to kick off 2015 are to really work on your confidence level and your belief that success is coming your way. And what I mean by that is the fact that that has to be internal. You can't just run around saying, I believe I'm going to be successful this year. I mean, you fake it till you make it, but you really need to be working on that belief of understanding that you are going to be successful, good things are going to happen. That comes by way of the second piece, and that is, if you are not surrounded by successful people, people that believe in you, and people that are working and doing creative, innovative things to move their companies and themselves forward, then you need to change your group, because anything else I tell you is going to be worthless if you don't do those two pieces first. So beyond
and I
that,
absolutely agree with you. I mean, that is so mm-hmm. true. What is the, I can't remember now, and I'm going to misquote this, but you're basically the sum total of the five people you hang around with the most, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you are the, yes, you did a great job. You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So, I mean, so if you don't want to do anything else this year, go find five really successful people and just hang out with them all the time. And I promise you, I would bet my whole career on that, that a year from now, you will be more successful than you were the year before simply by changing the group of people that you hang around with. I mean, it is really something to grow up and find out that your parents were always right. But, you know, they told you, you know, your friends, you know, say a lot about you. But,
right.
it is true. I mean, you need to be around people who believe that success is possible in this economy, who are trying things, who are doing different things, who are open to sharing ideas, and who are as open to investing in you as you are to invest in them. And that will take care of that first piece of really getting that that intrinsic belief that, you know, that you're going to be successful. With those things in place, what I work with is I am definitely a shiny object syndrome personality. I mean, I am all entrepreneur, and I definitely move before I think. And I remember when I got introduced in corporate America into the idea of creating a strategy, I thought it was a really dumb idea. I mean, who wants to slow down long enough to do that? And, you know, lo and behold, I become a strategist. But so I'd say that to help people understand nobody came kicking and screaming harder to focus and accountability than I did. But if you want to stay focused, you really do need to sit down and develop a vision for your company, and a vision for your company and for you. Don't separate them. And I don't care if you work in a Fortune 500 or you have a small business. It doesn't matter. What do you want your life to look like a year from now, professionally and personally? And with that in place, you'll automatically be able to identify the things and the places that you need to focus. I'll use myself as an example. My business is incredibly important to me, but so is my personal life. And while I travel quite a bit, really what I want in 2015 is more ability to say yes and no depending on the project. We have a lot of friends in my life. I'm very happily married. I'm very outdoorsy. I want time to do those types of things. So understanding that I want to be even more successful than I am now, truly develop myself as a thought leader, but I want a very balanced life, that has impacted the goals that I've set up for myself in 2015. And then the last thing I'll say with that is that every single Friday morning, I did it this morning, from 8 to 9 o'clock, if you were hanging with me in Asheville, North Carolina, you would see me look back on my week, spend an hour, and say, where did I stay focused? Where did I lose focus? And what am I going to focus on trying to do better next week? And at the end of the fourth Friday of the month is a financial review for me. But I hold myself accountable. I'm not going to be perfect in 2015, but I get better every week. So that was a lot. Sorry.
I'm scribbling notes madly. You ought to see me. I love that idea, because that's not something that I have even thought about doing, is, you know, the week in review, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very logical. It makes perfect sense. Now, well, and I can tell you why I haven't thought of it, because I'm a high-functioning workaholic. Monday,
mm-hmm.
Saturday, Sunday, December, January, it makes no difference. I'm working. But I love to work, so it's not really work for me.
Right.
But Friday, I mean, I love that idea of just, and I've been trying not to work on weekends, and what work I do on weekends is going to be for me, nobody else,
mm-hmm.
just me, unless there's an emergency, because that's the time when I can sit down and go, ooh, Denise, you need a new website. Ooh, Denise, your old website.
Right.
Oh, gosh, really? Yeah, so that's what I've been doing, but it never occurred to me to sit down and do a week in review and then, you know, kind of compile my findings at the end of the month. They go, ooh, good girl, or step it up next month.
Absolutely.
I love it.
You know, accountability, the reason I love that is I give myself an hour, but quite frankly, it usually only takes me 30 minutes so I can do it quickly. But it's even, you know, like you said, you want the weekends to work, you know, more on your business. As I've looked at 2015, I want to write more. I want to do more things like that. So I've worked that into my schedule. But you know, as a high-functioning workaholic, you can easily get talked into doing things where something sounds like a good idea. And when I take the time to breathe and look back, I'll just see that I either met with people or I did something. And while it may have been fun in the moment, I really question it wasn't given where I could have spent my time, that's not really what I wanted to do with it. And that's what accountability is. It's just really about setting goals for yourself, not expecting yourself to be perfect, and taking the time to review and say, where did I do well, where did I slip up, and how can I get more of the doing well into my schedule and a little bit more of the taking out. And you talk about building your confidence when you come off a week where you think, wow, I did some great stuff last week. I'm charged up, I'm motivated, I'm excited. Because the places where you waste it is that's what takes your energy.
That is so true. But you know what I have found, especially looking back over the past year, I realize now that there were opportunities that came up where there were just snippets of conversation that I just thought, oh, yeah, that's nice. Didn't follow up, didn't occur to me to follow up. And I wonder now what kind of opportunities for personal and self-growth that I missed because I was just too busy to really pay attention to what somebody was. Yeah, it might have been a throwaway remark. It might have been a really beautiful email that I got either on Facebook or personally that said, Denise, you've impacted how I operate. I mean, you know, here's what's happening, Meredith. Those things are happening more and more and more. It's almost like somebody's saying, would you just pay attention already? It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason why these things are happening more. And I'm realizing that with my busyness and with my, I focus pretty well, but I wanted to ask you another question about that in a second. But I'm realizing now that there were some opportunities that I just went, oh, that's nice. Gone.
Yes.
That hadn't happened. So one of my very real things that I'm going to be doing this year is when somebody pops up and approaches me about something, I'm going to take a longer, considered look at it and see if it's something that I need to follow up with. Is there the genesis of an idea there or not? But I'm not going to just go, oh, thanks, and blow it off.
So,
that kind of in a roundabout sort of way, because my mind works this way, leads me back to something you said earlier. You're talking about focus. What is the distinction between focus and discipline?
That is a great question. And what pops off the top of my head is that focus is about understanding what you want to do and what you want to accomplish, and discipline is the art of actually doing it.
So you really need both, but what if you just have one?
then you definitely need to work on the other. But I would say if you don't have discipline, you're focused on the wrong thing. And what I mean by that is that when people say to me all the time, you're so disciplined, because I am ridiculously disciplined. But I am disciplined because I am focused on what I'm passionate about. I mean, if you told me to go do, I am going to have, I mean, tell me to, you know, look at tax returns all day long, and I will be the most undisciplined human being ever put on the planet. But if you tell me to get up
I would
and
go
write,
bowling,
you know,
and I hate bowling.
Yeah, exactly. But if you want 6 new chapters for a book on personal responsibility, it's hard to pull me off the computer. So you need to, you know, I'm not sure when people are undisciplined, I think they're undisciplined because they're not passionate about what they're doing. And you've got to have that. If you're going to focus on something you're passionate about.
Exactly. That's just mm-hmm. it. And if you're stuck in a job or you're stuck in a career, you know, even if you're, let's say, a virtual assistant, I'm seeing this conversation coming up in my group, my Facebook group, and I posted something, excuse me, I'm raspy. I posted something in my group the other day about, listen, you need to really focus on, in your practice this year, your VA practice, you need to work on the type of work that you really love, that inspires you, mm-hmm. that you're really good at. Don't try to be a generalist if you're not a good generalist. You will mm-hmm. be miserable. Your clients will be miserable. And I just, that was just kind of a throwaway remark, but I'm telling you, it got a lot of traction. And mm-hmm. people are saying, you know, I'm going to narrow it down. I'm going to focus on the things that I love, where my skill levels are, and make my life a little less miserable, which was what one mm-hmm. gal said. I went, what? You're miserable? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this then? Why aren't you doing something different?
Mm-hmm. Something that you truly, yeah. if you focus correctly, yeah. the discipline should come.
It should. You're right. And if you're enjoying what you're doing, and you're then compelled to go learn more and be the best, mm-hmm. it makes perfect sense to go one step, and just keep going until you're absolutely master of your craft, whatever that craft mm-hmm. is.
Mm-hmm. To truly be the expert in your field.
Right. Absolutely. Well, listen, I wanted to change tacks just a little bit because this is a big, big question right now. The Dow is bouncing all over the place. And you know, I read your books and your articles, and you say the economy is not down. Mm-hmm. You say it's not down, but it's different. And I would love for you to, for our listeners to hear your take on that.
You know, I really believe that I know we are living in a different time, not a downed time. For those of us who came up through the 70s and even the early 90s when we saw interest rates spike and gas prices spike and things like that, those were up and down economies. But right now, so much happened and so much shifted in 2008 when everybody was quote-unquote saying the economy was down. Because while all those things are happening, gas prices go down, they go up, they go down. We have, we have the changes in the Dow on a regular basis. What is different in this economy is the fact that, A, it's global. I mean, we are living in a time that competition comes from absolutely everywhere. Never in my lifetime has the business in downtown, sitting on Main Street, had to deal with competitors all over the world. And the very fact I was hiking yesterday with two people who had moved here in the last year that work, one works in Singapore and the other works in another state, but they live here because most of their job is telecommute. Most of us did the majority of our holiday shopping via the internet.
I did 100% of it.
Exactly.
100%.
So much. So if you hope to do business like you did it 5 years ago, you're not going to be here 5 to 10 years from now. And so when I mean that the economy isn't down, it's different. We are in an ever-changing environment. New competition can come from anywhere. The customer is 100% in control. I've never had that in my lifetime. But what you do for a living, what I do for a living, what the local shoe store does for a living, there are millions of other people they could choose besides us. So how you do business today is so different than how you had to do it before, that if you're sitting there in a down economy waiting for the economy to pop back up, I don't care. Everything could, you know, the jobless rate, jobs could become plentiful. We could even get as crazy as balancing the budget. We could.
Oh, say it ain't so.
We can have all kinds of things go right, but it doesn't matter. We'd still be living in a different time. And we are living in a radically different time than we have ever lived in. And you really need to understand that. And you need to understand that the type of consumer, we are skeptical people now. You know, we were even talking about this before we got on, is the fact that our ability to connect with experts and to get information, you know, when I was growing up, whatever the banker told me, whatever the shoe store owner told me, whatever my doctor told me was what I believed. I don't do that anymore. You know,
and what
I go
find at the library. That was
exactly. That was it. And we were, I was talking with a gentleman who was shooting my video this morning, and he said, you know, that when you think about those Super Bowl ads and how much people pay for those, and he said, you know, he was looking at buying new camera equipment, and Canon had just put out these amazingly expensive commercials. But what did he do? He went and read every single review that was out there and bought the camera with the most 4- and 5-star reviews and the best comments.
Listen, that's how I buy. I buy practically everything online. I make most of my decisions online. I've often said I'm such an introvert that I'm a half inch away from being a hermit. The minute Amazon can deliver fresh crawfish, fresh shrimp, and fresh crabs and lettuce to my door, I'm selling my car. Seriously.
And mark my words, that day will come.
I know. Mm-hmm. And I'll miss my car. I love her. But, you know.
but the thing is, I read those
reviews.
Yeah.
And I study
exactly.
everything. I mean, you know, I bought my last 2 mattresses online. I bought my last 2 cars online. It took a while because I had to read those reviews. But I tell you what, when I got the cars, when I got the mattresses, I didn't need to return anything. I was very happy with them.
Right.
Because I had taken the time to see what real people are saying and not what some marketing department is saying.
And
so
that people,
just made sense
you know,
to
when
me.
You look at that, you've just really got to understand and educate yourself on this economy and understand, because the way that we did business before, the tactics that we have been taught, the strategies, especially in the world of sales. I was thinking about it in the shower this morning. I thought, I'm going to write a blog about the 3 biggest mistakes I'm watching salespeople make right now. And one of them is being overly aggressive. And I get it. You're worried. You're not going to hit your you're not going to get your mark. You're not going to make your numbers. But if you're not overfilling your sales funnel, I've got like 3 people. I like them, but I am not going to do business with them because I feel pushed. And that worked 10 years ago because I was backed up against a wall. They were one of 5 people I could buy from. In today's world, I have a whole world I can buy from. So it was really a different time. And you know, and that's really what led to the next book, is the fact that now you really, not only do you need to be on your game, but every single person that works in your company has got to be on your game. And even, you know, you hire contractors. But even think about the fact that if I'm working with you one-on-one with something and you put me in touch with a contractor that works with you, if that experience isn't amazing, I'm judging you on that. And I believe people are almost looking for a reason not to do business with us, looking for a way to keep their choices down. They're overwhelmed.
Now that, I'm so glad you said that. I mean, I find the same thing. Yeah, it's just, in my choices, when I do go out, you know, to go to the grocery store or go to the Dollar Tree, which is my favorite place to go, it's just, how sad is that? I pull up, I go, ooh, and I come out $50 later, I went in for cat food. But they have great bargains. But let me tell you, the reason I like to go to my little dollar store, my little Dollar Tree, is because the employees like their job. When you go in, they say, hello, how are you? They literally will pop up out of an aisle, spot you, and make sure that you're welcomed into their store. Now, you can go half a mile down the road and go to a Dollar General, and they could give a rat's behind if you're in there. They don't care. I don't go back. I do not give them my money. I mean, I just won't go back. It's like, really? You know, I'm here to spend money, and you can't be bothered to not snap your gum in my face? Gotta go. And that's an extreme example, but I leave. I will not stay.
I don't even think that example is extreme. I really believe that is where our world is. That is where our world is going. And you really, you know, no matter when people who work with you, your team, needs to understand that every time somebody walks through that door, it's a gift. And if you treat it like a gift, no million-dollar ad campaign is going to do more than somebody walking into that store, having a great experience, going to a cocktail party, going on Facebook, doing whatever it is that they're doing, and telling everybody. You also cannot afford to have a bad day anymore. Because, you know...
Boy, is that true.
We can tell as many people, you know, we can tell as many people that we want to not to do business with you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these are the places that in my opinion, that people really don't understand. Existing employers don't understand how valuable their employees are, and employees don't understand how valuable current customers are. I published a blog the other day about the fact that you need to understand every single human being who works for you on your team needs to know their number one job is sales. And if they don't get that, you're going to have a breakdown.
No kidding. And you're right. Look, I was guilty of this. You know, years ago, somebody said, oh, Denise, you're the best natural salesperson I've ever met. I wanted to hit him over the head with something. I was so offended. And then later, as I kind of grew into it, I realized that we're always marketing. You're marketing to your boyfriend's mother. You're marketing to your own mother. You're marketing to whoever is going to potentially hire you. I mean, we're always marketing. So, and we're always trying to put, or should be, putting our best foot forward. Unfortunately, once we've got that best foot forward, we kind of tend back and, you know, tend to fall back on our heels and not remain disciplined. And that bothers me. So is there anything people can do to just, from the employer's perspective, is there something an employer can do to say, listen, I have 5 employees or I have 4,000, but how do I connect with them and make sure that they know that I know what's going on, that I'm here for them? How do they do that? It's a big job.
It is a big job. And, you know, we talked about transparency, being very open and sharing the vision and the goals and the health of the company, good, bad, and the ugly. But beyond that, you know, you've really got to give people skin in the game. They need to have voice. I always say that for a leader, the question of what belongs to you, but the question of how belongs to the team. And what I mean by that is that you definitely set the direction of where the company needs to go, what it needs to achieve, but you constantly need to be asking the team, how do we do that? How do we make it better? How do we take it another level? Because even if you don't use, you know, even if you think some of their ideas are crazy, just the very fact that people have a voice, they have a piece of it, they have a chance to feel like they're making an impact, they're going to stay focused and committed to what you're trying to accomplish. And too often, we're telling people what to do. It's what's wrong with employee engagement programs today. We're telling people how they should be engaged, which is hilarious because the whole idea is to engage people. But it's really about that. And then you need to manage performance. You need this beautiful balance of reward and recognition with accountability. And it is a balance. It is a dance. It is the same way that your parents raised you. You know, excited when you got on the honor roll and the first people to ground you for the weekend when you didn't clean up your room. I mean, it's that beautiful balance of those two things. And whether you have one employee or whether you have 10,000, you've got to give them skin in the game and you've got to pay attention and be interested in what they're doing.
That is absolutely lovely. I do the same thing with my contractors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my contractors, my team, I have a very large team. They're never in touch with my clients. As you said earlier, I'm the face of the company. If there's something that's going on, you talk with me. You're never going to talk with anybody on my team. But I have always had sense enough to give, you know, if we're building a website or we're doing something, you know, some kind of big project, I give everybody that's part of that project an overall picture of what's going on. You know, I want them to have the big pictures. You know, I don't want to isolate them and say, okay, you do this and you do this, and you don't need to know why I'm doing it, just do it. That doesn't make sense. They need to know why I'm doing, where I'm going with it, what the overall project is going to look like, because they're going to have suggestions. They're going to have insight that I may not have at that moment. And I rely on my team for their insight and for their suggestions. I mean, it's just logical.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. You want to take the stress out of leadership? Engage the team. Because, you know, we get so worried about picking the right strategies, but it's not about picking the right strategies. It is about how committed the team is to carry out the strategy that was selected.
And that's exactly true. I mean, if they can't see what you're doing, they're going to do their little bit of it in the corner, in the dark.
Right.
And they're going to deliver, you know, they will deliver something that's either really great or something that's really cruddy, depending on who and what it is that they're doing. But if they can see where you're going, they can say, oh, Denise, you know, did you think about this? And, oh, what about this? Oh, cool. Well, no, not right now, but I'm going to file it away. I mean, you've got to have that level of engagement, because we can't do it all on our own. We shouldn't do it all on our own. So,
I mean, absolutely not. Most of the time, they know better anyhow.
Sometimes they do, honestly. I mean, look, I'm no Infusionsoft. I hate Infusionsoft. Can I work in it? Yes. Do I enjoy it? No, I do not. I would much rather hire an expert to get in, whip it into shape, get out of it, I pay the freight, and we're done with it. Yeah, it just makes sense to me to go, okay, you're the expert, this is the overall picture, go for it. And they do.
Well, and you know,
and then I'm off doing something else important.
It's something that you're passionate about and can stay focused on and stay disciplined to, which is, you know, back to the beginning of, you know, basically where we started, is the sense that, you know, understand there's reason that you bring people on the team. I do want to emphasize, though, this importance of the balance of reward and recognition with accountability, is the sense that sometimes I see employers so good at reward and recognition, but they don't hold people accountable. There's not discipline in the sense of, you know, identifying lack of behavior as much as recognizing positive behavior. Or the other happens, and you just have the stick method of leadership, and there's not enough reward and recognition. And it's really got to flow both ways to work.
Do you think that part of that is because of the current climate where, you know, people are sued all the time, they, you know, can't get fired practically? I mean, there are a lot of rules and regulations that are in place that should not be, but that's a political discussion probably. But I have to wonder if that isn't coloring a lot of what goes on in the corporate world.
You know, I think in all honesty, what is going on is that we don't like confrontation. And combined exactly, but it is probably one of the biggest missing skills of true leaders. The other is the fact that so many people, you know, if you were good at your job, we moved you into leadership. And we don't see leadership as a truly different skill. And it is a different skill. You have to be so confident in your ability and be so passionate about the people that work for you that you are going to reward the heck out of them when they do stuff well. But you don't care if they don't like you. You care enough about their futures that if they're not doing something right, you're going to point it out. If they're not doing something right and continue to not doing something right, you're smart enough to know this is a bad fit for them. You know, again, back to this whole idea of focus and discipline, I've worked in so many organizations where people are in sales and, you know, straight sales, and they're people who want to be behind a desk. And then you have somebody who's behind a desk who wants to be out pounding the pavement all day long. Your job as a leader is, leadership is its own set of skills, and you've got to put people into those positions that really are passionate about the growth and development of people and understand how it impacts profitability. And that's the biggest place that we miss. If you're that person, you may not love confrontation, but you understand the importance of it and you'll do it.
Thank you for that. I mean, that it is just so true. And it's difficult for a lot of people to stop and say, okay, you know, this isn't working out. Let's kind of change here, but you've got to do it. You have to just
right.
you have to be able to do it. Listen, we are about 30 seconds away.
I
we
know.
Do this every time we get so. But I want to talk with you. I just let everybody in the chat room know that we're going to stop streaming. But before you go, I want to talk a little bit about your new book. I love that title, Just Own It, Stop mm-hmm. Enabling, Start Engaging. What is the
yes.
book about, and when can people read it? When is it going to be out?
It is going to be out in May of 2015, and it is a book. It is a step-by-step guide of how to build cultures of engagement. And what I'm so excited about the book is the first half of the book is written from a leader's perspective. How do you build a culture where people want to step to the plate, take ownership, and are passionate about driving results? The second half of the book is written from the perspective, if you are an employee in a culture that you're not lucky enough to have a leader who understands how to do that, then step by step, how do you become the employee the company strives to keep? And the overall theme of it is, this isn't a black and white situation. It's not leadership's responsibility. It's not the employee's total responsibility. We all need to have a little bit of skin in the game. And the company in 2015, 16, and 17, where you have leaders working hard to build better cultures, you have employees working hard to more fully engage, you are going to come together and have this unbelievably perfect storm where full engagement is going to happen and everybody's going to win. Leadership, the employee, and ultimately your customer.
So May. I can't
mm-hmm.
wait. Do you have an advanced Is there an advanced
I'll give you
copy?
An advanced copy. Yes, absolutely.
I'm
excited
one.
You're excited about the book because I am really, really excited about the book. Just the same way I wanted people to be passionate about sales, I want them to get so excited
right.
about personal responsibility.
And here's the thing. I mean, I don't have a job. The people that work with me don't have jobs. I mean, we're small
right.
business owners. You know, we're contractors. It doesn't matter. Everything that you're talking about here applies to us as well. I mean, it just does.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, this book to me just kind of, you don't have to be an employer. You don't have to be a boss. You can
right.
be an entrepreneur. You can be a dog walker. It doesn't matter. It just makes sense that this book will resonate, or the principles in this book, rather, will resonate with all of us. Anybody
mm-hmm.
who's doing business these days needs to understand, number one, how to reach our customers, our consumers, how to engage with them, and really how to be transparent and above board.
Right. Right.
You can't hide anymore. You simply cannot hide behind a corporate office or, you know, remember, Meredith, back in the day when I first started building websites, nobody put their picture or, you know, their personal
right.
information on Facebook, and I still don't. I'm a very private person. You're not going to see my picture out there. You can see my cats and dogs, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But remember back in the day, you would go to somebody's corporate site, and you could see the picture, you know, the portrait, where they've got their hand on the back of the leather chair, and
right.
the other hand, you know, the little Napoleon pose, the other hand, you know, in their vest, and that was it. That's all you got.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't that long ago. I mean,
things
change so darn fast. And sometimes
that's right.
For the
so
good,
imagine where we'll
not.
Be in 5 years. Right.
I know. And you have to really kind of pick and choose your battles. For me, you know, my privacy is very important. For a lot of people, they want to, you know, everybody to know everything about them. But back to my original point is, when you're engaging and you're attempting to sell your services or your products, people are going to be looking at what other people are saying
yes.
about you. You darn well better make it the best experience that you can every day.
Every
no matter
day
what kind
and
of mood
every
you're
single
in.
Time.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Absolutely.
And if you mess something up, you better put your hand in the air and go, I am so sorry. How can I make this right?
Exactly.
Don't hide. Get out in front of it. Just do that.
Right,
but,
right.
Well, listen, I know you've been, oh, man, we just went over again. Okay, so where can people find you one more time?
At MeredithElliottPowell.com. Again, MeredithElliottPowell.com. Or on your Facebook page, you can connect to me from there and find my Twitter and my LinkedIn account as well.
Right. And your book is going to be the first one we read in the Entrepreneur. I can't even
yes.
talk. Entrepreneur Mindset Book Club on Facebook. And I learned this, we're going to go back to David Long, when I interviewed him And y'all who are listening, go into my Blog Talk Radio and look for David Long. It's a fascinating interview.
It's a great interview.
Right. And there was another interview with you 6, 7, 8 months ago. I can't remember now, but we were talking about your first book. Everybody go listen to that, too. It's a primer for what we're talking about. But what I want you to do is, if you're interested in joining a really high-level book reading club, go onto Facebook and look for us, Entrepreneur Mindset Book Club. We're Meredith's book is going to be the first one, Winning in the Trust and Value Economy. And Meredith, you're going to be joining me there for conversations, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I
certainly
am. About
the principles in the book. I'm so excited.
Yes.
I love that book.
Yes.
And in case anybody's asking how I got this book, this is one of those serendipity things. It's one of those things that I did have sense enough to follow up on and take advantage of, other than go, oh, that's nice. Your book publisher sent me a book. Just out of the blue, I picked it up at my mailbox, and they said, would you read this book and consider interviewing her? And as it happened, I had gotten a stack of probably 8 or 9 books that same day. And, I mean, if somebody thinks enough of me to send me books, I'm going to look at them. I'm going to read them.
Mm-hmm.
So I started reading these books, and I got about half a chapter into yours, and I'm calling this rep going, how do I reach her? What's her phone number?
That's great.
I love that book. I really do. So it's a great, great business book.
Yeah, it is definitely, you know, I'm so passionate about that book because I know if you read it, you are truly going to understand how to be successful in this economy. And just with the next one coming out, we're just going to take it another level.
I can't wait. I really can't. Meredith, thank you so much for being with me here today. I know
thank
you had to take
you,
time
as
from
always,
your filming.
I loved it.
Well, you're coming back again. We're not done. So as soon as that next book comes
good.
Out... That was like an order, in case you missed it.
And I will follow gladly.
Great, I love having you on the show. But anyway, thank you so much. And everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just look for Meredith Elliott Powell and Denise Griffiths. And we both wish you a happy, healthy, joyful, and prosperous New Year. Meredith, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm going to run out here and interview. And then let's you and I talk next week.
You can find Denise Griffiths
definitely
at your office on the web.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.